Welcome to Truth, Salt, and Spice. So throughout the years, the Super Bowl halftime show has had its fair share of controversy. But I think that Shakira and J-Lo's performance was talked about even more than the actual game. So Jessica, Leslie, and I decided to come together and just share our hearts and our thoughts with you, dear listeners. You know, from our own personal experience and perspective as Puerto Rican Christian women. So here's our conversation. Okay, are you both here?
Yes, we are both here.
Yes, excellent, excellent. Welcome to Truth, Salt, and Spice. And we have, what, three Puerto Rican women here? So it's going to be extra spicy today.
And Dominican.
Oh, yes. We got to bring that in because, yes, you know, we have our mofongo and we have our mango. So,
yes. Yes. I love both.
What?
I love both.
Ah, there you go. Mm-mm-mm. Listen, food, all about the food. Oh, ladies. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited to talk about this whole Super Bowl halftime thing.
Yes, it was a thing.
But before we continue, Leslie, how about you introduce yourself and tell our listeners as much or as little as you want them to know about you. And then Jessica, you can introduce yourself and do the same.
Perfect.
Sure. My name is Leslie Lamardo, and I am currently a budding entrepreneur. I had a 21-year career in higher education. I would stay in there forever. And then in 2018, decided to leave higher ed and pursue writing, coaching, and speaking. And so while I pursue that, I'm currently a librarian at my alma mater, as I asked God to give me a job where I didn't have to work. So he gave me a job as a librarian where I just put away books.
Nice.
And now I have the time to really work on this new sort of second career. So I'm really excited about that. So that's what I do.
Girlfriend, you do not look old enough to be having no second career. Like, you know, when did you start working in higher ed? When you were 10?
My students tell me the same. Every time I say that, I'm like, oh, well, I worked in higher ed for 21 years. How old are you? I'm like, I'm young. Don't worry about it. But yeah, 21 years.
You know, it's those Puerto Rican genes. What university is. Was it that said that we're the perfect human?
That is the truth.
What was it? I think it was.
A lot of water. It's a lot of water, girls.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there was some university that said that the Puerto Rican women is the perfect human because of the mixture. I was like, all right, well, I'll run with that.
We'll take it.
Yeah. I think it was Harvard or something like that. I don't know. So, you know, if Harvard says it.
Yeah, then it's the truth. I also have a 12-year-old. That I'm raising.
Oh, okay.
Olivia, so that's important to know too about me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Jessica?
Well, I'm Jessica Collazo. I was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. Both of my parents were born in Guanica, Puerto Rico. So I was raised in a primarily Spanish-speaking home. I now live in Charlotte, North Carolina with my husband and my two boys. I have an 11-year-old and I have a 15-year-old. And so we made this move a couple years ago. The Lord prompted us, had no idea where we were going, felt very much like Abraham when he said, go to a land, I'll show you. Because we had no family, we had nothing. I had no job or anything when we came here. And the Lord knew what he was doing. I currently work in full-time ministry, which I did not expect to. I used to work in ministry. I've worked corporate, nonprofit, you know, done a little bit, dabbled in a few different places. And so I didn't think I'd be back in ministry. And here I am again. So I'm enjoying this new season that the Lord has me in right now with my family and just enjoying a different pace of life.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself. I don't know how much people know about me. I mean, I've had this podcast for a year and a half and I've just kind of played with it and, you know, had amazing guests on. But I live in Pennsylvania. I was born in New York. I've lived in Puerto Rico for 10 years of my formative years, from 10 to 20. I have a husband of 15 years. I have four children and a granddaughter. My children span in age from 25 to 15. And my granddaughter is 6 years old. Yes. And so that's basically the gist of it. So I've lived around a little bit because my dad was in the military. So I've lived in like Panama, the country, not Panama City, Florida.
There is a distinction.
Yes, it is. I've lived in a couple states. I actually lived in South Carolina. That was the last place we lived of my dad's military career. So, and after that, we moved to Puerto Rico. So I do ministry in Guatemala. I've been there for 10 years. I go back and forth with girls. And we have a Tree for Hope is the organization that I volunteer with. And they just started a bilingual STEAM school for girls. So that just got up and running. And then I volunteer at an orphanage. Boys and girls are right beside each other. So I've been there. They're family now. So I have, you know, the whole American thing, the Puerto Rican thing, and the Guatemalan thing. So I'm a little bit all over the place, for sure. And my two youngest children are from Ethiopia. So we got some African up in here, too. So we're international.
Beyond. Oh, wow.
Wow. So that's that. But let's get to the juiciness. Let's talk about this Super Bowl halftime. I'm generally not a whole fan. I didn't go to a party or anything. I was invited because I was sick, and people like husband was out of town. Actually, he was in Puerto Rico. Doing a little solo vacation. And then it was just my daughter and I, and we were watching Kate and Leopold on TV. So we weren't even watching this thing. And then Facebook starts to explode. And I'm just like, what is going on? And I just started getting all sorts of ruffled. I'm just like, And then I saw the performance and I'm like, oh my gosh, please. So that's where we'll start on the comments throughout. So I started off with a comment of basically pointing out the hypocrisy in being so, you know, ruffled over their performances. And yet when it comes to, you know, the different uniforms that different athletes wear, I mean, we have these men running in tight little tights, you know, going around with their little, you know, prepped up hard as rock little buns or whatever. We have these volleyball players. I mean, have you seen these poor women? Like, the men don't wear these little tight little short things with their butt cheeks hanging half out, do they? No.
With tennis, the women are in short skirts.
Exactly. The men aren't. You know, you have the gymnasts, you have, you know, and we've just all just decided, oh, that's okay. And we accept it because, frankly, I think we worship sports in this country. And we're willing to put up with anything for supposedly the sake of performance. So I was actually, from that perspective is when I was really actually got very angry because of one of my favorite phrases is the cognitive dissonance within, you know, the culture where, you know, it's blatant for me what to see how it's okay because this is what you're used to, but it's not okay because of what another culture is used to. So let's dig into the cultural aspect of this whole performance with J-Lo. So Leslie, do you want to start first with your first, you know, impression and we can go from there?
Yeah, sure, sure. I actually, I love watching the Super Bowl because I only watch it because I like to see the best players play. And so I you know, I watch it every year and I remember seeing it. Olivia's not into it at all. She could care less. She was like, yeah, okay, whatever, J-Lo. You know, but I wanted to see them. And my girlfriends and I were texting throughout the performance. And I remember just feeling such a sense of pride. I remember looking when she was on the pole. I was like, oh, dear. She brought in hustlers. Oh, my goodness. What is she going to do?
Yes. Can you say what hustlers is? Because a lot of people don't understand that either.
Yeah, so she just recently made a movie last year called Hustlers, which was about a you know, a group of women working in a strip bar, and they decided to turn the table. The gist of it was that they decided to turn the tables on these rich men that were taking advantage of them. They decided to take advantage of the men instead of the opposite. And J-Lo, if you follow her at all, if you don't follow her, she has stated several times that this was really a performance that she had to, she really bared herself and had to really, when working on the pole, and doing the dance was a very, you know, she's 50. So it wasn't as easy for her. And she really practiced and she was really involved in it. So it was really for her a proud moment, which is why I think when you saw it on the show, I knew that, you know, oh, this had to do with Hustlers, with her movie. And because she learned so many skills, she's like, you know, I'm going to take this everywhere. Anywhere that I can do this, I will showcase this performance. And so afterwards, I mean, throughout the entire performance, I was screaming. And Olivia was like, what are you screaming? I'm like, girl, you got to see this. Oh, my goodness. She's on the phone. Look at her. You know, and I was so excited. Shakira. I was like, oh, her old hits. And when she was rocking and then she was on the drums. And then it was just, I was like so amazed. So I went right to social media to say, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to see what everybody's saying. And then the barrage of all the comments came. Now, on my feed, because I have mostly Hispanic and mostly African-American, you're so proud. Oh, my gosh, this is great. This is great. But then I started going into, like, delving into some other, you know, some other kind of sites and things like that. And it was just sort of, oh, my gosh, this was disgusting. This was this. Why would they play Spanish music on an American stage? And it was just this, you know, I couldn't believe the comments. And I immediately just felt hurt. And hurt for them because I know how much they worked to do this entire performance. And then hurt in that I, not necessarily hurt, but more misunderstood. I understood the performance. I mean, I'm a fan of both women for different reasons. And I knew just even the Spanish music that was on, it was alive. It was very festive, just like culturally we are. And so I just felt, I've never felt so misunderstood as a Latina in my life. I was like, wow, people just don't get the culture. They don't get the, you know, and I had to watch it several times to also catch a lot of the things that she did. But when she brought in the flag and her daughter was singing Born in the USA, that was significant. When the kids were in the cages and they were brought out, like there was so many different just cultural significance, so many political things that were going on in the performance that was so lost because people were so focused on the pole or a crotch shot. And everyone missed so many wonderful different things that she brought into this performance. So I just felt misunderstood. And I was just like, wow, they don't understand that the culture that being Latina, you know, for me, I grew up watching women with barely any clothes, you know, on or dancing, even in my own parties. I'm like, even going to a basic sweet 16, people would come out with their breasts hanging. I mean, this is the norm, you know? So her dancing. And I mean, so for people to, I felt attacked and just misunderstood. Like, I'm like, people just don't understand the Latina culture, or Puerto Rican or, you know, whatever, even, Shakira's performance. But mm-hmm. I mean, when I saw Shakira perform, I was so, she purposefully had so many beautiful colors, women, different hues of color in her performance, and
mm-hmm.
white, mm-hmm. and all around her were the women of color. And I just was like, oh, Shakira, you did that beautifully. Like, there were so many represents, Afro, Colombian. I mean, it was just amazing. And I just felt so misunderstood. Culturally.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
Thank you. Jessica, how about you?
I had mixed emotions about it. So I watch the Super Bowl because I watch football. I watch all 16 games. Me and my husband are huge football fans. And so we love the game. And then the Super Bowl is always just fun because of the extra entertainment element that comes with it. And so a girlfriend of mine and I were having the conversation and having a little bit of a debate because I told her the one thing that I'm always conscious of that actually does bother me some is the fact that every time that there is a Latina performance or Latino performance, whether it's male or female as the main artist, the backup dancers, everyone, they're always half naked, you know? And it's like, well, do they have to be? And I get, you know, I get a lot of it's cultural and stuff, but I think for me, because I take so much pride within the who I am, and I'm not defined by how I look, and I'm not defined by my body, you know? So I think it's just for me, that place, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I told her, I'm like, just get ready because, you know, they're going to be half naked. But it was an expectation already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the performance and I was shocked at how proud I felt at moments.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it. I didn't care for all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there were definitely moments of this performance that stirred in me something that I didn't even realize it would.
Yeah.
You know, when I looked at Shakira and when I looked at the African dances that she brought in and her Colombian side, when I looked at J-Lo and when the kids came in and just when the flag came out and not just the Puerto Rican flag, but to have both represented because it's so indicative of who we are as Puerto Ricans, where we're both, we are American and we're Puerto Rican, you know, that those moments were very proud moments. And just because I didn't like certain aspects of it doesn't mean that I can't appreciate the bigger picture of what was happening. And so for me, it was interesting because even though on the whole wardrobe side of things, I was like, whatever, kind of rolling my eyes. Man, I'll tell you, when I went to social media and when I looked at Twitter and when I looked at a couple different places, any part of me rolling my eyes turned into anger because it was like, really, people, we're going to be this hypocritical about a performance when we see all kinds of performances. We saw Adam Levine half naked last year. We've seen Madonna half naked. We've seen Beyonce half naked. So
no, we see Michael Jackson grabbing his crotch every 3 seconds.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. And so the fact that those things were acceptable, yet this is going to get so much heat in reality, because of like what Leslie said, because of the cultural aspect of it, that is where I think my disdain that I was feeling for just my personal things kind of really just shifted into, you're really, really misunderstanding who the culture is, and you're really viewing this from the wrong lens. Because let me tell you, there's two lens, and I know we're going to talk about this as we keep going, but I should not be looking at the Super Bowl performance as if it's I'm going to church to a praise party. Like, it's not. It's two different platforms. So my expectations for what's happening on that screen cannot match my expectations for what's happening somewhere else. Now, that does not mean that we condone certain things. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that the lens that we look at this through has to be the appropriate lens, because we can't hold J-Lo and Shakira and the producers and everybody else for the Super Bowl halftime show accountable for our standards as Christian people. Now, if we're going to have that much of a problem with it, don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was 100% a choice to watch it, and it was 100% a choice to then go on and voice our opinions on social media. Those were choices that we had. Nobody made us. You know what I'm saying?
I do. So here, let's talk a little bit about the some hidden, some very obvious messages that people may have known about or not. I remember one of my friends commented on, well, what's up with that tongue thing, right? That Shakira did.
Shakira,
now,
yeah.
Here's the thing.
That was everywhere.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I'm not Middle Eastern, right? But when she did that, since it was so odd, you know what I said to myself? I bet that's a Middle Eastern thing that has some significance.
Right.
I went and looked it up, and I said, Shakira's tongue thing. And it's a, I don't remember the name, because it has a... some weird, whatever the word is. But it was a celebration of, you know, it was a form of celebration and happiness. Boom. Right. So people go on and start talking. And this is what, you know, we are in 2020. And we have all this information at our fingertips. And the amount of ignorance and unwillingness to actually search for things and just start commenting out of that ignorance is perplexing to me. I mean, I am baffled. Because all it takes is just a couple seconds to go look on the internet and find things. Now, you know, sometimes you have to navigate with truth or false, you know, when it's deeper meanings. But I found that in like 3 seconds and read it. And I'm like, oh, look at her bringing in her Lebanese, you know, influence. And the belly dancing. People are like, oh, that rope. That rope was all like, you know, there's this tying stuff and it's sexual, whatever. Belly dancers always have some kind of little ropey thing, but she chooses the thicker one for whatever reason. I don't know. I haven't sat with her and asked her why. So I don't have an opinion, because I don't know. If you don't know, don't talk.
You know, and I think I think the only thing that I will say is that if one, my experience with my cousin married an Egyptian. At the wedding, they all did that. And I said, what are they trying to conjure up? What is going on? I was baffled. This was years ago. And at the wedding, they said, oh, that's just part of a celebration. So when she did that, I knew what it meant immediately. But there were...
Would you mean the tongue thing? Or the
tongue thing, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
in my cousin's wedding, they did it. And I was like, what is happening in here? Because everyone was doing it. And it was really odd, especially our Puerto Ricans were like, what's happening here? Once we understood, we thought somebody was being conjured. What's going on? Once we understood, it was like, oh, okay. Then we all started doing it. We were like, oh. But I think that many people also didn't realize that she's Lebanese. And I think that was the other thing, is that they know her as a Spanish artist. And so the ignorance also came in that they didn't realize that she was, that this was also cultural for her, that it wasn't, she's not just 100% Colombian. So I think that was also an issue, that where people didn't realize who Shakira was and is. And so there was a lot of backlash from that, like not knowing and not understanding who she was, from a lot of cultures all over the place. But yeah, it's
amazing.
It was all over the internet. And there was one, I remember one particular post by a white woman was like, who was angry and specifically like laid out all the cultural significance of the whole thing. She was like, and this is what this is, and this is what this is. And you all need to really get to know who these people are before you start commenting about things. And
good for her.
Her post went viral because she literally like broke things down. She was like, Puerto Ricans are Americans, and that's why they did this, and this is what this is, and this is what this was, and this is what Shakira was. She's Lebanese, and this is what this was. And then you saw people like, oh, I didn't realize that. And it's like, well, yeah, that's part of the whole, when you see something cultural, when you see something outside of you, you will have questions. But then ask the questions, but don't insult it because you don't understand it. You know?
Yes, and like I said, my friend, she said it was odd, but that was it. She didn't really go off in a very distasteful way of just, you know, rejecting the whole thing. Then when I told her about it, she's like, oh, thank you. She was very grateful for knowing that. And then it made sense. And that was the end of it, you know, which is great. And I think, you know, you said you're a coach. I'm a transformational coach by training. And one thing that I love about coaching is that we are taught to be curious.
Right.
And so when something doesn't jive with our clients and something's off, we are told to taught to be curious. Okay. And you ask questions. And you ask questions and you go deeper. I have a friend that is a Jewish Christian, and she told me, and I'm repeating this, I'm hoping that it's true. I mean, it's not anything horrible, but she said that in Jewish culture, when they sat down to talk, I guess the men, you know, and you know, suss out different matters, that somebody would ask a question, and generally then another question was asked, and then another question was asked, and that's how they discussed things. It wasn't so much a conversation back and forth of giving opinions. It was, okay, so if your question is this, then I have this question. And then if that's your question, well, how about this question? So it was, you know, everybody's thinking, and I guess there's less talking and less opinion. And then everybody kind of gets to know where people and, you know, wherever they ended up at. And I appreciate that a lot, which is why I love coaching, because there's a lot of questions. Like, let's get curious about what we don't understand. And when we're curious, we are probably more less likely to be judgmental and critical.
Absolutely.
And we don't have to agree. We don't have to
agree,
like
but
it.
I think that when you also the majority and you do not have to spend your time in any sort of culture outside of you, because I'm in New York, I'm in the Bronx, where it's mostly predominantly African-American and Latinos here. You don't really have to become curious if you stay here for the rest of your life. The moment you step out and go into Queens, that's a whole, you have Middle Eastern, you have Egyptian, there's a whole cultural side shift real quick when you cross that bridge. And then you go into, you know, Brooklyn and you have the Jewish culture. I mean, there's so, you know, in New York in particular, if you don't want to know about different cultures, you really don't have to. I mean, you're forced to eventually, you know, when you start working and going into Manhattan and noticing cultures. But when you're the majority, you don't have to become curious. And I think that's the sad part, is that people choose just not to.
Yeah.
Culture's everywhere. And but again, if you're living in a state where you have the majority, you know, white or any other culture, it's, you don't have to become curious. And that's, I think that's the sad part, is that people stop and they just don't. Instead, they want to just judge, and it's not mine, so it's weird, and it's awkward, and it's ugly, and I don't like it. You know.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jessica? What do you?
I mean, I agree. I think, like as Leslie's talking, I'm just even thinking about like how we grew up in Chicago, and in Chicago's a very, very diverse city, and it's a very segregated city as well. Yep. There's each section of the city is, you know, you have your Puerto Ricans in one place, your Mexicans in another, your Polish people are in one place, your Cubans, you know, mingling in with the Puerto Ricans, but like still, like everything becomes so sectioned off where, yeah, if I'm within my neighborhood, I only see, and I grew up, for me, I grew up only with Puerto Rican, Hispanic, African-American, and, you know, some white, like, but it was majority minority. So it's very, very different when we realize that there's a whole other world out there. And that's the thing. It's, we live in America first and foremost. So we're very entitled people, period. It doesn't matter what culture we're in, you know? Even, I would even say, even our minorities in America are very entitled because they haven't experienced what these other countries experience, you know? Like, you go to Guatemala every year. What you see there is very different than when you see people here, you know? And that's the piece where it saddens me that it's 2020 and we still live in an age where we can't ask questions and appreciate people and see a different perspective because we want to be so close-minded with our own. Why? Because we're too afraid to get out of ourselves and out of our own element to be able to really experience the beautifulness of seeing what this world was created, because God did not create us just one way on purpose.
He loves diversity.
Yeah. So when I actually went back before we recorded and watched this thing again, and I took a couple notes. And so I just want to throw out a few things here and there. And then, Jessica, how about we start with you if you wanted to comment on anything specifically, and then we can go with you, Leslie. So, you know, I started off because Shakira started, you know, with the performance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wrote here Lebanese roots. Rope used in belly dancing. Bad Bunny, it's a new genre of music. And the other thing I thought was interesting is these women were the dominant women, like they owned the stage. Mm-hmm. They brought the guys in. They weren't the focus. Mm-hmm. You know, the men were not it. So that was to me like woo woo. Mm-hmm.
And many people didn't even know who they were. They were like, who are these?
Yeah.
Who are these men?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not fans of either of them per se, but I know who they are. There was salsa, the tongue thing with, you know, Shakira. There was an Afro-Latin influence. And then as she was doing that Waka Waka Africa, I stopped the video. I went actually and Googled the whole thing. And I actually saw a little documentary of how it came together. Yeah. So, and even Shakira in this little documentary interview, she said that she was proud of it because it was about integration and tolerance.
Right.
But that song was about the World Cup back in whatever year that was. And I personally don't like the word tolerance. I really, really dislike it because tolerance is basically you put up with something. Mm-hmm. And frankly, when you put up with something, you're really not actually loving the person or the whole of the person. I don't want anybody to put up with me. If you don't like me, I'm not a $100 bill. You can go right on ahead because I don't have to fit in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's enough people out there. But, you know, if we're going to be in a relationship, I don't want you to tolerate me. I want you to accept my, you know, those quirks or those things that, you know, may not like, but see the other part that hopefully if there's more of good, you know, in me that you would love. And then these things are just not the focus. But that's my personal opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But I don't do tolerance. I just, I don't. Even if I don't like something, I've always been like, okay, there's something I can find in this person that I can, you know, love. There's something I can love, and that love can be bigger. Now, how much time I spend with the person, that's a whole different ballgame. But, you know, that could be a whole other podcast episode.
Right.
So then there's J-Lo. So I thought it was interesting because she did do that little crotch grabbing thing. And I was just like, what is this? And I said, you know what? This reminds me of rappers when they're up there rapping and they're grabbing their crotch every 5 minutes. I'm like, so where are the double standards here? Like, I was wondering, like, why is she doing this? Like, right. It was odd to me, for sure. I don't know if one day I can sit down and ask her, or maybe somebody interviews her and asks her, why are you grabbing your crotch? Because that just was odd, for sure. You know, and then I'm like, and then I thought, well, Michael Jackson always was doing it. And people are like, you know, whatever. So, Michael Jackson was a perv. Like, he was a pedophile. But people are okay with him. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't think J-Lo and Shakira out there perverting with minors. So let's hypocrisy. Let me move on. Then we have the kids in the cages. And I'm like, I missed that. I was just like,
I missed that.
Okay, this is odd. And then somebody brought it up like, oh, my gosh. So you have the kids at the borders in cages. Like, can we say, you know, something of importance? The whole born in the USA and then the flag comes out and then the American flag. It's really hard to be of another culture and have pride in both, especially when one is put down all the time. It is so hard. I wish people would understand that. It is so hard because you can't have pride in both. Like, I go out and I am so proud of my Puerto Rican roots. I lived on the island. Like, I get it, you know? And then I've lived in the States more than I lived in the island. And I love the United States for all its ridiculous faults. It is still a great place to live, you know? So there's that sense of both. What else do I have here? Oh, great. I have my chicken scratching. I don't know what I wrote here. I don't know. Oh, no, don't. There was that song they were singing there. Don't let anyone tell you what you gotta do no more. I'm like, that's empowering. It's like, we're not going to go by any standards. And, you know, and then I wonder what that meant. Like, you're not letting people tell you, what do you do anymore? Is this a woman thing? Like, you know, this doesn't define me, kind of thing. I'm not sure. So that's kind of what I had. I did go also and looked up the African influence from Puerto Rico, because I don't think a lot of people even understand the whole history of Puerto Rico. I mean, the tweets of people saying, why is the Cuban flag up there?
Right. Yeah. Or the Texan flag. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, there was so many.
I was just like, okay, let's just move on. It was just funny because not that I have all flags memorized, but I just thought that was kind of funny. So, you know, I was looking at the historical context of just, you know, Africans within Puerto Rico, and we have slaves that were brought in and free from Ghana and Nigeria. So we have like Yoruba, Ashanti, something called Fon, I never heard of it, F-O-N, Igbo, I-G-B-O, Bantu. So we have that whole influence. So, when at the end there, Shakira brings in and they're dancing with the drums and whatever, I could feel my little African genes just start bubbling from my toes all the way up. And I'm just like, ooh. And, you know, you don't understand that unless it's your experience. I'm going to wrap this up, what I have to say, and I'll let you girls talk. The Sunday following, the following week, I'm at church and I'm talking with somebody and we're kind of bantering about I don't know what we're talking about, but this lady comes up and says, hey, I have a question. And I literally said to her, that's all she said. She's a white woman, older, and we live in a very conservative area around here. And I said, what, do you have a Super Bowl question too? Literally, that's what came out of my mouth. I didn't even know what she was going to ask. No, and I didn't say with an attitude because I generally don't come off that way, but it was more of a little bantery thing. Right. And she says, actually, and I'm like, oh, she does. Okay, great. I love conversations. So she says to me that somebody in her sphere had gotten an email forward to her. And then it was an article explaining, you know, that whole performance was very cultural. And so she said, is that true? Is that like a cultural thing for you guys, that whole performance? And I said, absolutely. So people need to understand that we have African, you know, we have a little bit of everything, and it's just very sensual. We're unapologetic about it. There's no, it's very empowering for us in many ways. So it is totally cultural. I said, now, if we're going to talk about a Christian perspective, that's a whole different conversation. Right. But cultural, yes. Mm-hmm. And she's like, thank you. And she walked away. And I'm like, that woman, I respect so much, because she was willing to go out of her Caucasian little whatever world to be like, okay, I heard this. Let me go ask somebody that would know.
Right.
The Puerto Rican of the church. Right. You know, not the Puerto Rican, but, you know, a Puerto Rican church. And let's start this conversation. And she left like, okay, I understand. Thank you. And she walked away.
Right.
And so I know now that when she has conversations, she will be able to say, you know, that was cultural.
Right.
And move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was beautiful. And I would have hoped that people would have done that instead of, you know, going around and spreading stuff. But okay, Jessica, what do you have to say about just tidbits about what you saw, you know, with the performance?
Well, to me, things that stood out to me were when Shakira was on the guitar. Yeah. Like, man, you got to give it to her, you know? Yeah. Like, these are the moments that stood out to me. She was on the drums and J-Lo's daughter comes out to sing. And then J-Lo comes out to sing and all three of them. And you're seeing the difference in generations. And there, it's the talent portion of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That was intense to me. Again, I didn't care about the pole, but man, can we give her credit for the athleticism? Because the pole, I know I can't climb that pole.
The pole is not cultural.
No.
No, the pole is not cultural.
I know
yes.
Cardi B is known for the pole, but the pole was not cultural. It was more
not at all cultural.
Movie, not yes. cultural.
Yes.
Right. Not.
Thanks. Yes. Thank you for that, because that's true.
Yes, that's very true. But even with, I mean, if we're going to go into kind of just trends that are happening now, do you know how many athletic centers now have like the pole dancing? Mm-hmm. Because it takes a lot out of you, you know, it's working you. So it's obviously because of the connotation it's always had and what's been associated to, but I just really want to look at it from an athleticism standpoint, you know? I missed the whole kids in the cages thing until the second time or third time that I watched it, that then I was like, oh, wow. You know, like what an awareness, but, and how this can be missed because we're so focused on something else, you know, can we talk about the moment of having a mother and daughter on the stage and the moment, because it wasn't any moment on the performance. It was the moment where you have Shakira and J-Lo and Emmy on the stage. And then they're singing the Born in the USA and the Let's Get Loud, you know? Why are we saying Let's Get Loud? Because our voices have been quiet for too long. And so that was the nod to all of it. And then can we talk about collaboration? Mm-hmm. And can we talk about how these two performances were not a competing performance? You didn't have two major stars come out here and one do her thing and the other one do her thing and try to outshine the other. You had two very different women with very different styles come onto the stage and do their thing and complement each other. Yeah. Okay, when we live in a world that's full of competition all the time.
Yes, there is room at the table for all, isn't there?
Everybody. And those are the things that stood out to me from the performance. Those are the things that I want to walk away with and be able to say, okay, you know, this, all of those things can speak to things that I can understand.
Beautiful. Love your perspective.
Yeah.
How about you, Leslie?
I will say, I wanted to put my sandwich down. I was like, these women, J-Lo is 50. Let me put this sandwich down and go to the gym tomorrow. I was my back hurts. My hips don't work.
our hips don't lie. They're crazy.
My hips are like, sit your behind down. You cannot do that. Siéntate, que te no apare un sitio. Go, no, stop. You can't do that. I mean, I was just in awe of being that age, being 50 and 43 and still being, I mean, granted, these women are also, this is what they do, right? So J-Lo, this is she's been working at this since November. So obviously, you know, she's a dancer. This is what she does. I'm not a dancer. So, but I was just in awe of just from an age perspective that these women look so beautiful at a time where we're not used to seeing 50-year-olds. Like, there was a meme going around where it was like Blanche from the Golden Girls. J-Lo on the pole.
Yeah.
50 then and 50 now. Like, so from the age perspective, I just thought it was beautiful that these women, and it was just empowering that, you know what, this is what 50 looks like now. It doesn't have to look like Blanche from the Golden Girls anymore. Yeah. It can look like this. So I think from the age perspective, it was just amazing. And I loved just what you all said. I love that Shakira brought in her Lebanese side, because there was a whole culture that screamed and was so excited to see their culture represented yes. in a way that they weren't even expecting. You know, like, I know many, yes. many Lebanese know that she is Lebanese, but that part of her, their culture was represented, I'm sure, lifted another side completely. Like, wow, we're there too, which is amazing. And to see, mm-hmm. I love seeing Shakira just surrounded by all these beautiful women of different melanin tones and just surrounding her. Like, she didn't have them in the background. She didn't have them around. She had them literally surrounding her. Mm-hmm. So whenever the camera came in, you saw her and these beautiful faces. And I just really appreciated that. And one of the things that I looked up too, because again, even being, you know, Puerto Rican and Dominican, there were some things that I didn't recognize either that I had to look up. And I was glad to, because one of the things that I found out was that Shakira, that Barranquilla, where Shakira's from, mm-hmm. is really very Afro-Colombian, that entire, where she is. So that's also her influence, which I didn't know. I didn't realize that. And was it was nice to see that. So it was, I mean, there were so many things. I've watched it several times. And I, every time I watch it, it was like more and more just proud of what they did and what they represented and the music, it was one of the most, the performances that was the most, live. Like, it was just, you know, alive. Like, I don't even know how else to describe it. And I know that whenever you go, I mean, if you've ever been to Dominican Republic, as soon as you walk out of the airport, that's what that's like. It's like music everywhere. It's alive.
Yes.
Like, there's no, it's alive. You know, like, not like in the United States where you come out and it's work. You know, you go mm-hmm. to any of those countries and there's a vida, like a liveness
that yes.
doesn't exist in other places. And it's amazing. And yes. I'm so glad that people, if they really wanted to experience it, were able to and loved it. You know, and I'm also grateful for the people that loved it. There was a lot of negative, but there were so many. I mean, it's one of the most watched, you know, Super Bowls in history, because so many people really mm-hmm. loved it. And white people, black, I mean, there were so many people that were like, wow, that's amazing. So it wasn't all negative. There was a lot of people that really enjoyed it. So.
Well, I think, you know, when you were talking about the liveliness, when I think of, and we, at some point, I think we're probably here going to automatically or naturally segue into the spiritual aspect of this all. But mm-hmm. When I think of our African influence, like I had mentioned when we had talked before, that not all Latin cultures have the African influence. And so therefore, they right. are going to be very different. Like when I go to Guatemala and I say some words or different things, they're like, we're speaking Spanish, but we're not speaking the same language.
Right.
And then so right. what? With my African friends, they had the Mayan influence. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, vocabulary alone is going to be different. Like they call a trash can very different than what I call it. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, simple things like that. But when I think about the word, I'm like, you know, because we are different by the Spanish culture unites us because the Spaniards came and conquered. Right. Mm-hmm. But where we are unique is the original natives that were there. Mm-hmm. And then whatever other mm-hmm. influence. And so with Puerto Rico, it's very much the Taino, which were the native Indians there. And then they brought in the Africans and you have the Spaniards. So you have three cultures there. And then with Guatemala, I know they had some slaves and they're called Garifuna. And mm-hmm. they live over close to the Belize side. And that whole section there is actually full of Africans. So they're actually African Guatemalans. Mm-hmm. But once you leave there, it's all like Mayan looking people mm-hmm. or, you know, that's mixed Spaniard, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's not so, so clear. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have that African influence within their culture. And so we can't generalize, you know, the being Latina and the whole performance of every single Hispanic culture out there or Latin culture.
Right.
Because Guatemalans are very modest. And I think Mexicans right. even probably to some point are more modest than we would be too, because I don't think there's a major African or any African influence there either. So where am I going with this? When you take Africans and you look at these tribes and, you know, a lot of them don't wear, they just have loincloths and mm-hmm. the breasts are hanging out, whatever, and they're dancing. And if have you seen these tribes? Like mm-hmm. those women are shaking those hips and gyrating and stuff mm-hmm. that you see in the... Man, did I love talking about my culture, the performance and whatnot. It was just, it was fun. And with all the weirdness and inappropriateness that was in there, there was a lot of pride in that. So I hope that you learned something new and are leaving this podcast episode with a different perspective and respect for things that you do not understand. And stay tuned for next week, because the next episode we talk about the performance and the comments made in social media from a Christian perspective. And that's bound to be challenging for sure, for many. So stay tuned.